In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. Tonight, we have such a special guest, Les Jensen, visionary soul development coach, author, radio show host, and I love this, undisciplined philosopher. So thrilled to have you on the show tonight, Les. Welcome to The Spark.
Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you know, I am so thrilled. I had such a wonderful privilege of being on your radio show and just had such a great time. It really connected with you, and I'm really connected with your mission. So it really is an honor to have you on the show.
It's my heart just sings when I get opportunities like this. So I thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so tickled. You know, we're going to be talking tonight about this new book of yours, which I love the play on words, Citizen King, instead of Citizen Kane. I loved that. And what is the secondary title? Remind me of the secondary title.
The New Age of Power.
Yes, right. The New Age of Power. And I started reading it. Number one, I have to tell you, I love the font. It's written in like this different font than most books are published.
Right. Well, I really like that because I wanted to kind of draw people out of their heads, draw them out of the ego and make it more of a tactile experience. So I fussed over the font, so to speak, quite a bit to settle on that. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know, I think you're so right on because it makes you pay attention in a different way.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like you're reading someone's handwriting to me. You know, it's like I just felt more drawn in. And the topic is so great. Ironically, I'm writing my new book. And my the chapter I'm writing about is, you know, our difficulty in being in our own power.
Right. Oh, my God. Yes.
So, speak to that, Les. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's really a curious thing because people kind of have this unconscious threshold of what they want to take into their persona. You can talk about joy and happiness, and but you start talking about power with a capital P or love with a capital L, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shucks, look at the time, I got to go. Or they disconnect, they swipe or whatever. And I have found it over the years, a real dance to talk about power. It's almost like you have to take one step to the left to language it. If you language it square on, people, a lot of people aren't really ready to see themselves as a genuine, powerful persona here on planet Earth.
Well, I agree. And I think that there's this piece where power has been so confused with the abuse of power.
Sure.
And so I think some people just, they have that negative connotation right away that it means power over, or, you know, that it's somehow this abusive, making people do what you want them to do or being manipulative. And that true empowerment and that power with a capital P can really be about your own inner spark or energy and how that can be transformative when you allow that to fully be ignited.
Oh, indeed. And I think humanity, we're basically, we're healing our relationship with the term, the archetype of power, because like you say, when you bring up the topic of power, there's such a history to it. It's kind of like the term God. I mean, God, the term God has been butchered. We've done such atrocities under that term. And I like to kind of abandon the term that has an emotional attachment to it and create kind of a new vocabulary so we can start fresh and build upon nothing instead of bring dogma and have to clean it up.
Yeah. So how do we do that, Les? How can we start healing our relationship to power?
Wow. Well, that's a real curious question. Our egos tend to be the biggest inhibitor, if you will, to power, because our egos are very attached to feeling confident that they know what the outcome of our choices will be. Our ego wants to know that the choice I'm about to make, I know what the outcome will be. And how can it know what the outcome will be unless it compares it to an experience from the past? So it pretty much attaches us, anchors us to the habitual patterning of the past. So when we talk about how do we bring in that notion of power, what we're really talking about is how do we heal our relationship with our heart and our soul? Mm. Our heart and our soul, a passionate heart and a powerful soul. Oh my God, you can't really language the potential with any language on earth. The pen breaks and the paper slips away, as Rumi said. When you like, our soul shows us a dream of what might be, and it's certainly a carrot. It's dangling in front of us saying, come on. Come on, trust in yourself just a little bit. And a lot of times the ego, that's new ground. If I go there, I don't know how it'll turn out. And the ego tends to be conservative and cautious. And that has served the ego in a lot of ways to keep a sense of safety in what has been very a lot of upheaval in the collective. But our soul knows everything about us. It, in fact, it had the vision for our life before we were even born. And yet once we get into physical form, our ego can consume all of our consciousness, just pinch off that inspiration and keep itself safe, but keep itself very, very stuck.
Well, and I feel like, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm resonating so much with what you're saying. I know about, you know, the primitive part of our brain that also really contributes to that, you know, that whole principle that we are, you know, part of us still is that caveman brain, and that we have that natural negativity bias that's scanning the environment for a threat. So safety in our brain can become like this number one thing. So it's transforming that as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's spooky when you take those first few steps. Citizen King, this particular book out of the books I've written, this book teaches your ego how flippin' cool your life would be if you could get through that dogma, that stigma, and trust and just show up, just kind of walk in step with your heart and your soul. Once you get a taste of that, once you start to trust that, but what normally happens, like the first time my soul said, write a book. So we're typically busy doing something else. We're unloading groceries from the car, whatever. A single sentence will pop in our head, write a book. And the very next thought, we drag it up in our head and we just smash it. Who am I to write a book? I can't write a book. I'm from a small town in Utah. Nobody gives a... Who cares what I have to say? And our ego takes already vetted wisdom. Our soul knows everything about us. The ego does not have to vet the wisdom of the soul. Mm-hmm. A really powerful thing to do is when you get those one sentences, write it down. Now it's ink on paper. and you can beat it up, but you'll look at it again the next day when maybe you're not as defensive. So just to capture it with ink is a way to bring it more into your life.
I love that idea, Les. That how important that is, that it's like we're taking it, and even if we can't assimilate it at that moment, we're writing it down. And so maybe if we're in a different brain space or heart space, we can actually look at that and open up to the possibility.
Oh, yeah. Buy a pack of Post-it notes and put one in the car and one in the kitchen, and have ink ready. And if you're not prepared to capture that inspiration and then honor it with focus, intention, attention, and action, nothing will happen. Your ego will dictate. Your ego will be the sole hand on the rudder of your life. But with those Post-it notes, maybe one day it's write a book, and the next day it's volunteer at the homeless shelter. And you're like, what the hell does that have to do with anything? And if you actually take steps on it, you find out, well, there's a retired writer at the homeless shelter, and he'd love to coach you and really amp up the quality of your writing in a very short period of time. But again, our ego will say, this doesn't fit into how I see the future, and we discount it.
Yeah. So I just think, wow, what you just said is just so powerful, because it's like our life is speaking to us, or our soul is speaking to us.
Yeah.
The divine, however you want to say it, our higher self. And if we listen, we don't always realize, you know, I think we can do this in retrospect, right? We can kind of look back and go, wow, look at how those dots connected to having that thing happen. It's harder to do on the way forward, right?
Yeah, right.
And to know that's going to continue to happen. Those dots are going to continue to be placed. And so if we allow ourselves to open up to these messages,
downloads,
if you will, and the downloads, that's what I call them, then who knows the potential that's going to open for us?
Oh my gosh. It's like, when I look back, writing, I never saw myself a writer. Writing for me is such a joy. At the end of the day, I'm honoring the intention of my soul. I'm expressing the passion of my heart. And so this day is the only day you can experience satisfaction, a sense of accomplishment. And so the more you learn how to honor that inspiration and show up for it, there's kind of a quickening that happens, but the happiness that you have from your whole persona kind of anchors in your being, and that's priceless. I think that's what people are really hungry for, and they're trying to piece things together outside of them with like building blocks, but it's more of an inside job.
Love that saying. That's one of my sayings too, Les. I absolutely love that we've got to continue to move from these external programs for happiness and come inside, because it's an inside job. So we are going to go to break right now. I am with the wonderful Les Jensen, and we're going to continue our conversation on his book, Citizen Power. Citizen King. It's about power. And just continuing this wonderful conversation. And I hope that you will join us after the break. This is Stephanie James on Transformation Talk Radio.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ornedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOrnedo.com.
Are you living life, or is life living you? Tap into the divine love, healing, and wisdom already in you with T. Lotus on Triple L, the Live Love Lotus Show, every first and third Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about how to consciously create your most incredible life, join the Sacred Path online community. It's free. Visit thesacredpath11.com to join. That's thesacredpath11.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Stephanie James. Join me on stephaniejames.world to find out the latest speakers, the latest events and retreats that I'm doing. Sign up for transformational life coaching or join us for the Igniting Your Best Life online group. All of that you can access from the website. You can order my book there. All of that available to you. Sign up for a free 20-minute exploration call with me or receive a free Igniting the Spark Within visualization and meditation. All that on stephaniejames.world. So we're here with visionary Les Jensen, who is a soul development coach, author, radio show host, and undisciplined philosopher, which is my new favorite term. So Les, you know, I have to say, you know, I'm curious about your own journey with power, you know, and that, you know, for all of us, I guess I can speak for myself. It's a continued journey at how do I befriend the sense of power and where do I catch myself playing small? Yeah, I'm wondering in your experience, what has that journey been like?
Well, first of all, I didn't see it coming. I was a transmitter, as a television broadcast engineer working with transmitters. And this is before I got cracked open. So here I am in my early 20s with less than a year to experience, and I'm standing in front of a 1 million watt transmitter. And it has 32,000 volts in it. It'll drop you like a brick the second it can. And I had to wrap my noggin around what is happening in this vessel, if you will, that millions of people can have a pristine television picture arrive at their home. And I believe my soul chose that in my journey so I could understand power. What's 1,000 watts? What's 100,000? What's 1,000,000 watts? And really kind of comprehend an intangible aspect of power. Fast forward to the cosmic 2x4, and like a bug hitting a windshield, my life cracked open in 15, 20 seconds. An immense amount of emotional energy came pouring out of my psyche. Like a volcano. It was exactly like pushing the go button on a transmitter. Here comes this immense amount of power out of my psyche. And I had no clue what the, and it was anger. I had worked with a psychiatrist for a couple of years and he said, let's talk about anger. I'm like, I don't get angry. What is this? This is pointless. He put out his hand. He said, push on my hand. Show me your anger. And I push and pretty much nothing happened. He kind of got up in my face and he said, look, I'm safe. You're safe. I want to see your anger. Will you show me your anger? And he put it out his hand again. And some valve inside of me opened up and whoa, over 20, 30 seconds, this energy's flowing out of me. And I remember kind of asking the energy, what are you? And the anger said, I don't care. Think of me what you will. And in hindsight, that showed me that our karma, that was raw karma flowing out of my psyche, karma, the principles of karma are as impersonal as the principles of gravity. But in that moment, the engineer brain in me said, wait a minute, time out. How could I have so much raw energy suppressed in my psyche and I not know about it? That was over 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I every day I do a scrub on my psyche to release and discharge unresolved energy within my personal energy persona.
How do you do that, Les?
Well, the curious thing, anger was a decisive emotion in my family of origin. My dad was a World War II vet, and when he got angry, you couldn't make yourself small enough. And so I learned probably before I learned how to talk that it's not a good thing to trigger dad's anger. Let's all suppress it, right? And so to answer your question, how do you do that? To become mindful of your energy as you go through the day, you're going to find triggers. And those are gifts. Those are wonderful gifts. Mm-hmm. When you feel the energy in your psyche shift and emotions that were previously below the radar in our subconscious space, and when we get triggered, they come up into a conscious space, pay dirt. That's it right there. And all our emotions really want is to deliver the message and be gone. They're just messengers. So as I interact in my day and I get triggered and an emotion comes up, the emotion is showing me my relationship with the event that's happening. And so we can actually evolve through our emotions. We can dissipate and cleanse our emotions. But until we release them from our psyche, the energy is still contained within our subconscious. And it turned out my ego was scared to death. Subconsciously, it wasn't on my conscious mind. Mm-hmm. I would avoid any choice that just might bring a reaction of anger in my psyche. So my boss would treat me like a scallywag and I wouldn't stand up for myself. And so I would concede everything because I subconsciously was very, very afraid of what might happen. But now I feel anger as when I feel anger, it's showing me here I am again. And it's really nice because within that message is an immense amount of energy that can be a fuel that I can burn through my psyche to resolve the incongruency with how I see myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that that's beautiful. You know, it's truly this art, and I do believe it's an art that sure. We learn how to befriend whatever comes up in us.
Yes.
You know, and I think of Rumi's poem, The Guest House, is always my go-to for, you know, it says this being human is a guest house and every day a new arrival. You know, a meanness, a depression, a momentary sadness comes, and this terrible botching, but the paraphrase is, you know, meet them at the door laughing and welcome them in.
Yeah.
You know, like they've all been sent as a guide from beyond.
That's right. And they're very impersonal. There's nothing personal about it.
Well, and that's where we have to get out of our ego and also out of, you know, the analytical mind that's trying to make sense of everything that's happening. Sometimes we just have that energy come up. We just have that trigger come up. So, sure. You know, I'm hearing what you're saying. It really resonates with the work that I do with my transformational coaching clients, with my psychotherapy clients about how to be in the energy of what's there instead of the story.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. And the first, that first time when I had the epiphany, my ego wanted to react, wanted to drop into pattern. And the energy itself was indifferent whether that happened or not. So in a flash, you can change. You have to catch yourself before you drop into reaction. You feel the energy and here comes the reaction. You say, wait a minute, this is impersonal. I don't need to, I can create a new outcome here and break the reaction that creates the same results.
Yeah, so important that we can respond, right?
Yes.
To breathe into what the energy is instead of just going into reactive mode. And I like how you say like dropping into it and then we're reacting. So instead taking the pause and breathing through it, and then you can respond.
That energy just wants our consciousness. Mm. When we give it our consciousness, that is the vehicle of dissipation. Yeah. And then, and if we push it down, we ignore it, there it is. And it'll be bigger next time. And we'll, and a curious thing happens as the first time you do it, you're a little nervous. Second time, it's like, okay, this is kind of different. Third, fourth. Once you get comfortable and realize it's not personal, you can kind of put some bellows to it and really draw a lot of energy releasing from your psyche in a very short period of time. And that's a really powerful technique to use. It can be used in a couple's relationship with like a tantra type effect, where through the passion of your interaction with your beloved, you can use that vehicle to dump. It's like wet cleanup aisle five. You can just dump so much energy in a passionate experience, and wow, that's over the top.
Well, and yeah, I mean that I love the idea of that we don't have to be afraid of what shows up. I mean, talk about real powerless. It's like not being afraid that our emotions or our experiences have power over us.
Right.
That we're no longer the victim to circumstance. We're actually empowered.
Sure.
To deal with that energy power that shows up within us.
Sure. I like the metaphor of fixing a bicycle, fixing it, and then actually riding it. Two completely different things. So when we talk about cleaning the emotional and mental energy out of our personal energy persona, we're talking about fixing the bicycle. Mm-hmm. But if I can cleanse this vehicle and embody the vibration of my soul, then I'm inspired moment by moment. And I run into synchronicity, and I'll do more in a day than I would have done in weeks had I stayed in my head. So cleaning out the persona is fixing the bicycle. And then to turn around and capture the inspiration of your heart and your soul, and vibrationally, the vibration of the inspiration is the energy that creates the effect from the quantum field, if you will. And so as we purify ourselves, the energy from our soul can manifest in a quicker way because the ratio between our subconscious, as we collapse that, makes our conscious space a more prominent percentage of what we're projecting into the quantum field.
So, and you know what that aligns with, I just had a guest on, we were talking about just exactly what you're saying, the importance of doing our own healing. And as we're doing this and you know, dealing with whatever emotions come up, it's like we do become then clearer conduits.
Yes.
Right? To those downloads that you're talking about from the divine.
Well, as we purify our personal energy persona, the tagline of my new human living platform is pure, authentic you. I chose those because they have no attributes to project. But when you purify your persona and then you come from an authentic space, that at that point, you can embody unconditional love. And if that's what you're putting out, that's the only thing you can see coming back. And then you're the embodiment of heaven on earth.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yes. And once you've tasted that fruit, damn.
There's nothing better.
Better get some chaps and some gloves and hold on tight, because your soul, from your ego's perspective, your soul has just shattered whatever you thought your life was going to be in a very, very exciting way.
Well, and you know, and I just got done with this Michael Singer series on surrender. And I love that he talks about this. One of the things he says is you have to die to the ideas that you held about who you were, so you can be born to who you were truly, who your soul truly knows you are meant to be.
Beautiful. Very well said. I love that.
So we have so much more to talk about, Les. And I want to talk about this group that you're doing that you just started talking about, New Human Living and that platform. Sure. When we come back, and even more so, this amazing, how do we have a relationship with power? How do we redefine power and what it can do in our lives? So all this and much more when you come back and join us on The Spark.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hello, I'm Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing. I'm a channel, so I embody your guides, allowing you to have soul-deep conversations. I'm a Reiki master and energy healer. We work together to find and identify the blockages in your energy and learn to release them. I love looking at past lives and how they're affecting you in the now and what you can do to resolve them, and more as you learn about your possibilities. I'm available for phone and virtual sessions. Go to BlueLightningHealing.com for more information.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. So honored to have you join us. This is just a special episode with visionary Les Jensen. Here we are with Les holding up Citizen King, The New Age of Power. And where can people get this book, Les?
You can go to my website, newhumanliving.com, and order it there. It's just a click away.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're talking about, you know, our relationship with power, how we can help ourselves experience more power through us by doing some of this cleansing we've been talking about. What else do we need to know, Les? What other pieces help us in this relationship with power?
Well, you have to heal your relationship with who had power in your childhood. And for many of us, that's God. Now I'm going, this is a different book I wrote, Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. In order for us to be powerful, if we've been told for decades that the big guy up in the sky, he's got the power and we're mere mortals, we subconsciously, there's no way we can embody the notion of being a powerful persona. So there's on planet Earth, there's many dogmas in our cultures that inhibit us from truly embodying our power to heal our relationship with power as it relates to the divine. You know, a million, even billions of prayers have been prayed. God, come save our ass. This planet sucks. We're blowing each other up. Zero times did a big divine entity come down and wave a magic wand. Zero. Right. It's through the human persona. In all of our mythology, when divinity was kicking ass, there was flesh and bones around. And you're flesh and bones. So to give yourself permission to be the vehicle of the divine, now that's an easy sentence to say, but damn, you've got to stretch your mind. You've got to heal your relationship with God, which is a different book. And Citizen King, the New Age of Power, is to be able to have a flow of inspiration in the moment from your soul into effect. And that's what Citizen King is about. That's one of several building blocks for how to show up in a powerful way.
Well, and so when we show up in a powerful way, it doesn't mean that we're out there rioting or that we're, again, having power over someone else. It's that we're in full alignment with our own personal power.
Sure.
Am I hearing that right?
Yeah. Whatever you put your attention on, you're voting for. So if you go to a protest against something, you're actually anchoring it into your future with your own consciousness. So power is, it's not like you ignore or label what you don't prefer as negative. It's an indifferent approach. It's like, wow, that's curious. I don't want to polarize myself. To really be powerful. I mean, Jesus said, here, hold my beer, watch this. And you can do everything I have done. So if Christianity was hitting the mark, we'd be teaching people how to perform miracles, how to walk on water, how to heal the sick. Because we were told flat out, you will be doing all of this. And that is the model of divinity coming through a human persona. And we all have the potential for that. But if we're not doing any practices, it's very unlikely it'll come about in a single lifetime.
Well, and you remind me, Les, of something I read that Mother Teresa had said. And it was about how I will never be an anti-war person. I will be a pro-peace.
Yeah, you throwing a peace rally, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I think is metaphorically what she said.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't go to an anti-war rally. I'll go to a peace rally. I think that's exactly it. Yeah. And so it is what we focus our attention on, what we want to see in the world.
Right.
So go ahead.
Well, it's through the human persona that it comes about. So what we want in the world, we are the birthplace of what we want to come into creation. And so that sentence shouldn't go by without acknowledgement.
What are some of the tools, Les, that we can use to help ourselves continue opening up to this divine power flowing through us?
Sure. Well, the post-it notes and capturing your inspiration is one thing. And to understand that your soul is a non-linear being. And so when it goes to create, it doesn't think in a linear form. And so that gives you permission to not understand the sequencing or the steps presented in a particular moment. It might not make sense to your ego. And then another very powerful thing is the imagination. So Stephanie, what does heaven look like to you? Have you thought about that? Is it clear in your head? Do you hone it? So it's like for myself, I see orchards with fruit and the harvest is coming out on wagons drawn by horses. Everything there is organic, the horse, the picking, and that's the design of the creator. And modern farming is looking to mechanize all that. And that's incongruent with the nature of nature. So to take our imagination and actually spend the time of dreaming, what would heaven really look like? And now we're opening it up, and we can be the vessel, the birthplace of a new idea, a new dynamic, a new narrative for humanity. How cool is that?
Well, yeah. So if we're really going to create heaven on earth, so to speak, yes. Right?
Yes.
It's really envisioning what that would look like. And I have to tell you, Les, as a scuba diver, I have said for the last, gosh, I don't know now, 15, 20 years, that for me, heaven on earth is when you're in the ocean, suspended, all you're hearing is your breath.
Right.
It's absolutely beautiful and free. And, you know, I feel like what you're saying is so important, though, for humanity, that as we envision how heaven on earth could be with sustainable living, yeah, with truly envisioning peace. You know, I've shared with just a few people that oftentimes when I was really doing a specific type of meditation, and this is when I was pregnant with my daughters, like 24 years ago. And at the end of those meditations, I would have this vision, just spontaneous. I wasn't even consciously thinking of it, but it was all of these people putting down their guns, all these soldiers putting down their guns. And it would just come up to, you know, over and over again. And what was happening as they were putting down their guns is there was like this really bright light in the sky. Everyone's looking up. And it was just like peace. It was peace. There was no more need for violence. There was no more need for war. And so I think those kind of visualizations or visions are so important that not only do we stop there, but we continue to visualize, like you were saying, what does it look like? How would it be? What would our culture look like?
Right.
If it really was that.
Well, it sounds like you're a visionary. Nature was never broken. Nature doesn't need the ego's help at all. Our ego cannot comprehend the scale and the beauty, the grace that nature operates in. We need to get out of nature's way, to let go of the, it's such a Western mind to say, well, I'm going to fix this, you know, like when the British Empire invaded India. In their college curriculum, they had enlightenment, the 25 yogas of the Kama Sutras. And the British came in and said, hogwash. And what are you doing? Because the Western mind said, we know better, watch this, you know. And the wake of the Western mind is anything but grace. We're hungry. Humanity is hungry for a more authentic narrative, a more authentic idea of what our future can be. And we are the vehicles to birth that, to want it, to desire it, to envision it, capture it, and bring it into physical form.
Absolutely. This is just so inspiring when I think about this, and I think how important it is to have that kind of thing in our curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, to teach kids. And I know a lot of, you know, Waldorf schools and different private schools, they teach meditation. They teach different ways of getting in touch with, you know, what I call our divine spark.
Sure.
And I just feel like, boy, that really is the hope for the future. If we can start doing some of that in our schools and really helping people know, like, this already is within you. This isn't separate
right
from you. You don't have to get it out there.
Right. Our thinker has no limitation on it. We can dream whatever we want. It's literally a non-physical realm of creation. And I think the whole idea of a prayer is to say, damn, this sucks. What is the solution? And vibrationally, we'll get the seed, and it comes in from the feminine into the heart, and then the masculine brings it into form. And as you and I and the listeners choose, I want a better dynamic for humanity. I want a more authentic story. We're hungry for the truth in a blunt way, not a sugar-coated way. We want, we want our ears to burn because the truth is raw.
And the truth will set us free, right? I mean, that's that is the truth. So even if it's raw, that is, it's real.
Yes.
You know, and we can, you know, definitely resonate and vibrate with things that are real, and it's transformative.
Yep.
So a couple things, you know, with your platform, New Human Living, how, yes, how is that in line with this concept? Cause you've done that for a long time, had that, yes, platform. What was, I guess I'm curious, the original concept of that for you, and then how does, you know, Citizen King fit into that, the new age of power?
Sure. When I got cracked open with the cosmic 2x4, I discovered there's all this mechanics of persona. I mean, I had all these subconscious demeanors, and I didn't really, although I was successful and blah, 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 I really didn't understand how much of me was off my conscious radar. And I think my soul put me here. It put me in front of big ass television transmitters, very high power equipment to get me to, it took me years to stare at that sucker and go, what the hell is this power? And fast forward to now, I'm here to language the power of love, the power of unconditional love. But like I said, if I say that point blank, so I take one step to the side and say, Citizen King, New Age of Power. New Human Living, I'm very careful that I don't project my own dogmas. I use, I'm very clean with my language, no adjectives. Purity in and of itself has no attribute. If anything, it's a lack of attribute. Authentic, well, that comes from within you. I can't tell you what that is. Mm. Pure, authentic you. When you get those two square, purity is your relationship with the quantum field. The more pure your personification is, the more absolute the result is, because the quantum field is just a mirror. And then until we get our subconscious and our conscious in an energetic alignment of what we desire, then it will take the faith of a mustard seed to fulfill. And authenticity, that's a, when you stay in your authentic space, and that's a task, first to even understand it, and then to be able to detect it. When you stay authentic to yourself, you will not fatigue over time. It makes you sustainable. We burn ourselves out when we stop becoming authentic to ourselves. And so when we're authentic, the idea, the vision of our soul is the soul dialogue, so to speak, in our psyche that downloads the feminine, the non-tangible, into our heart space, and then the masculine manifests it out in the physical form. So New Human Living is to teach humanity to truly, genuinely own that they are indeed the creator of their life, individually and collectively. Does that make sense?
Yeah, talk about powerful.
Yes.
You know, and so for you, what are the doorways or the gateways for people, so that people really have a clear understanding less of how do they start accessing? If people feel that they're living out of alignment with their true authentic self, what are some of the steps they can take to really start opening up and aligning to that authentic self, to that, like you're saying, this pure connection to the quantum?
Sure. It's a journey. You're not going to go to a weekend seminar by anyone and go from kindergarten to PhD.
Yeah.
Learn to enjoy today. Oh, wait a minute. What does enjoying today have to do with embracing my power? Well, if you learn to enjoy the subtle aspects of today, you'll be in fine form to enjoy tomorrow too. And if you make that a habit, you're going to enjoy the days of your lives. And in that joy, you don't come from a place of fatigue or sorrow or grief or hopelessness or despair. We've talked about Citizen King, the New Age of Power, is healing your ego's relationship with your soul. And then Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior is to heal your relationship with power. To heal, we could talk in length about this, but what you're doing is you're purifying your vessel, this human energy persona, so the passion of your heart and the vision of your soul is the majority of the intention, of the attention, as you go through your day to manifest and fulfill. And like I said before, once you get a taste of that, like once you honor it and write a book, you start writing books, you feel what your ego never would have considered as a wonderful feeling. By honoring that inspiration and fulfilling it, you start to taste the fruit of what it means to honor your life purpose. Mm-hmm. And that can only, it just gets better and better. I'm at it 25 years now. And I'm like, damn, you're showing me these big ass visions. For, all right, I'm in. Let's do it. Here we go. You know,
which is great. I mean, and it's again so inspiring. And you know, it's one of my mantras too. I mean, I've been cracked open at several different points in my life, and one of the biggest was when I was 50. I always say life begins at 50, and I'm about to turn 54. And the last 4 years of my life have just been like, woo, just like huge and expansive. And it really came from a moment, literally being brought to my knees in surrender. And surrender to the divine just living through me. I was like, I got to get rid of this ego that has a, you know, this trying to control everything. Yeah. And wow, once we start doing that, life changes. Yeah. And for the better, like you said, Les, like you can't even conceptualize how good it can get.
Right. I love the saying, your age is none of your business. Your soul has no comprehension of a physical form age. The elasticity of your brain can be reprogrammed at any age. Mm-hmm. It's whether we show up or not. And there's never a moment that doesn't offer an opportunity for you to evolve, to more fully embody the truth of who you are.
That is so perfect. I love that. So I'm going to close with that, Les. That is such a perfect ending to this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing this part of the journey with me and with all the listeners. Just so grateful for you. Thank you, Les.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, and before we sign off, I guess I want to make sure people know they can get your book at your website, which is
newhumanliving.com. And if you want to know more about me, lesjensen.com.
Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you so much for this time. Many blessings to you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.